Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world. Always live, always unrehearsed, and always unscripted. So that way, you don't always know exactly what's going to happen or what you're going to get. Right across from me is Captain O'Brien, my aviation expert, my colleague, and my dear friend, my partner in many, many different things for the good of the island community. And I promised that I had a little piece for him, and I'm going to insert it here. Now, usually I have a regular order of things that I do in the plan of the day, but because he's here and because he's making noises and motions as if he wants to leave, I'm going to put it into the I'm going to insert it into the regular scheme of things. When I was coming back from from my trip to San Diego, I was riding the Coast Starlight. And one of the towns that the Coast Starlight, the Amtrak train, stops at is the wonderful town of Klamath Falls, Oregon. Now, Captain O'Brien did not fly the mail planes. He's not that senior, although he is an aviator of some seniority and great experience. He is, however, a legitimate Alaska bush pilot, and I have many of my some of my favorite stories come from him. And my really favorite one is the one about landing the DC-4 with four big round engines on the beach and loading it up with fish, and then staggering back into the air. But that's a parenthetical insertion. My story for him today is that in Klamath Falls, Oregon, I looked out the window of the Coast Starlight. I looked up on the hill, and there's this great big letter K up on the side of the hill. Now, I am old enough not to have remembered the mail flights, but Captain O'Brien probably is. And that big letter K was put up there, and I want to have an affirmation from him that I've got this right. That big letter K was put up there so that the pilots of the mail planes would be able to, oh my goodness, he's going to come on and he's going to correct me here, correct the captain. So that they put those letters up on the hillside so that the pilots of the mail planes would be able to know where they were. Is that right, Captain?
Not in this case, no. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry to burst your bubble, Captain, but no, that was from the school that was put up there.
Okay.
From the Klamath Falls school. And I did used to fly into Klamath Falls in an F-27, an old Fairchild 40-passenger turboprop, when I flew for Horizon Air. In fact, I have some kind of interesting stories going into Klamath Falls. But you know, one of the things that is still prevalent that you can still see, there were arrows that they put on the ground in some place, big concrete arrows that pointed in the direction for those mail pilots to follow. And,
you never flew the mail routes yourself. I know that. But you did fly the fish routes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I did. Flew into Kodiak and into Kenai and to Anchorage off the beach. Yes, sir. We hauled 750,000 pounds of fish off that beach one summer, which is a lot of fish, I can tell you. Yeah.
So getting a four-engine DC-4 off of the ground with that much fish back in the aft must be a real challenge to get them up off the beach.
Well, you know, the beach actually, it was surprisingly firm, you know, because it was a very shallow beach. So the tide came in a big hurry. And when it went back out, it left a pretty solid beach. There were a couple of clam beds that tended to move around. You had to watch out for it, because if you hit one of those, you'd be, you just drop right out of sight. But ordinarily, it was surprisingly firm. Yeah, I was amazed when I first started flying there.
So we'll probably do one or two more episodes between you and me where you tell air stories and I tell sea stories. But I wanted to get that big K for Klamath Falls.
Yeah.
And here I was going to proclaim that it was a hark back to the airmail days, and you're telling me that it was some kids put it up there. Well, that's great.
But I will tell you one quick thing.
Sure.
Some of the passes going through the Rockies and through the Cascades had lights in them. And those are still in operation, in particular in Montana. McDonald Pass and Mullen Pass have those lights. And as a young private pilot, I used to fly those at night, fly those routes following those lights. So they're still
working.
Yes, sir. And I think even today they're still working. They're very handy to have.
Those are the lighthouses for private pilots.
Basically, that's correct.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk some more, but I'm going to get back, but not today. I'm going to get back to my regular routine and deliver my greetings to all of Captain Joe's people, and especially those who are in danger, any kind of danger. We all face dangers at one time or another in our lives, at least those of us who are engaged in professions which are inherently dangerous. There are other kinds of dangers that we encounter in our lives, in our personal lives. And for all of you who are Captain Joe's people who are in some kind of danger, know that you are not only in the palm of my hand, but you're in my heart as you work your way through whatever those difficulties are. And I take this opportunity also to recognize that all of you who contributed to the financial welfare of the Voice of Vashon. I just got a report that the Old Man Winter campaign was a big success, and that certainly is due to, in some degree, to Captain Joe's people who contributed to that. And I know that many of you did, and for that, of course, I am, as always, enormously grateful, because that's what allows me to climb back up into the captain's chair every week. The binnacle list is, first of all, to give you an update on my situation. I had a signal from a constant and loyal listener being concerned about my voice on the broadcast that I did from the dining area of a Panera last week. And that was, I think, more a function of the lack of fidelity of the iPhone that I was using rather than anything going on with my respiratory system, which is functioning comparatively well compared to other parts of me. So the update on what's going on with joints and all of that is that there is a slow but measurable progress being made, as was promised by my physicians, that it would indeed happen. And to the delight of some people, I was put on to a substance which was promising to be a magic elixir that was going to take care of all of the aches and pains. And so I read the label. One should always read the label when you get a jar of some substance. And the label proclaimed that this substance is cannabis-based. Those of you who have sailed with me, those of you who have been part of my command, know my feelings about substances like that. So when I have reported this to people, and of course all of this is legal in the state of Washington, The substance, I think, comes from Washington. I haven't ordered any replacement yet, but I believe it comes from the state of Washington, where it's all legal. when I reported this to both family members and to friends of family rank, the response that I got was I suppose it was predictable in the sense that everybody was delighted that I was finally aligning myself with what is now so prevalent in this great land that I continue to serve. The other binnacle list is I'm putting King Charles III on the binnacle list, adding him to me and to all of Captain Joe's people who are still on the binnacle list. And I'm doing this because he went into one of the London hospitals for a particular reason. That reason was taken care of, and then they discovered that he has another cancer. This has generated a huge amount of speculation all over the world, at least those people who are concerned about what happens in the United Kingdom, and I am one of them, that he may abdicate and that he would abdicate in favor of his son, Prince William. So, it remains to be seen whether that is actually going to happen. The one of the press reports that I read was that the Prince of Wales, and the Prince of Wales is almost always the heir to the throne, that the Prince of Wales is pleading with his father to hang on just a little bit longer, at least until they can work their way through some problems in their own family. This is a great example, though, for all of us to meditate that even those in the highest places are subject to the same kinds of challenges and difficulties in their personal lives and in their professional lives that all of us face. And our hearts should go out to them, and mine certainly does. I make no secret of my love, affection, regard for the United Kingdom. And the fact that I lived there and worked there have contributed to the, in particular, the University of Cambridge, is certainly part of it. And so I wish His Majesty the best and the best possible outcome. The train that I took back from Los Angeles, when you are in San Diego, you have to get yourself from San Diego to Los Angeles, and then the Coast Starlight starts at Los Angeles, and it works its way all the way up to Seattle. It's supposed to take 36 hours, and they were precisely and exactly on time all the way up to Portland, PDX. And an interesting phenomenon, Amtrak does not own the tracks, except in the Northeast corridor. The tracks from Los Angeles to Seattle are mostly owned by a conglomerate railroad, which is now called Burlington Northern Santa Fe, BNSF, which is a combination of the old Burlington, of the old Northern Pacific, the old Santa Fe, all of them together now, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe. The equipment, the passenger equipment, is at least washed, but the prime movers, the locomotives, appear as if they have not seen a paint shop nor a even wash rack for the last 5 years. Let us hope that the maintenance part of the internals of those pieces of equipment is at least a better, in better shape. In any case, it was a wonderful trip. And because I am moving so much slower, and because I like the idea of being able to go to the head when it is convenient or necessary and not have to queue up, I went ahead and got a bedroom, which has its own head. So here are a couple of recommendations, which are based on my experience with the with Amtrak. The first one is that if you're going to make a long haul and you can fund it and you decide that you're going to get a sleeper accommodation, which, by the way, includes meals, and in this particular case, the meals were really good, not any stuff from a microwave, then go ahead and pay the extra money and get a bedroom which has its own head. And when the bunk is not opened out, you still have a couch. And so I was able to lie on the couch and watch the world go by out that window. And a terrible storm hit. And as we were working our way north, we went right through that storm, and I could hear the wind banging up against the side of the sleeper car. In the west, these cars are double-decker, and the bedrooms are up on the upper level. In the east, they are set up differently, and there are, to my knowledge, there are no double-decker, at least in the northeast corridor. And the reason for that is that those rails were laid over 100 years ago, well over 100 years ago, back in the 1850s, 1860s. Some of the tunnels are the same ones that were built when the lines were originally laid in Baltimore, for example, in the old Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. So there's no room for double-decker cars. Maybe it is when you get south of Alexandria, south of Washington. In any case, it was a wonderful trip, and I highly recommend it. And should you have any long-distance travel, I recommend that you go ahead and try Amtrak. There's an interesting relief of command in the Navy. Now, I am wondering how closely the Navy is vetting their prospective commanding officers, because there are, in the last year, in the year 2023 and now into 2024, there have been a number of reliefs of command, and most of those have been in floating units. This particular one is the USS Howard. She is an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. And her commanding officer, a gentleman by the name of Commander Dennis, a Mustang, by the way, parenthetical insertion for those who did not grow up in the military, a Mustang is an officer who came up through the enlisted ranks and then went to OCS and became an officer. Commander Dennis, this was his first command. He'd been XO in another Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, but he'd never had a command before. And this was his first command, and he was relieved, using the language that the Navy is so fond of, that his boss had lost confidence in his ability to command. No further characterization. But the interesting thing about this one is that the poor USS Howard, this is the second captain that she's had in 6 months. The man that Commander Dennis, no longer captain, relieved, had been relieved in August because he had run Howard aground down near Bali in what is characterized as a soft grounding. The definition of a soft grounding in Navy terms is one where the ship doesn't stick, and other than some bottom paint being scraped off, no damage. Which is a little bit hard for me to figure out, because there is that enormous sonar dome that's down there. I cannot believe that there isn't some damage that's done to that. But in any case, the article that reported all of this and talked about the second relief of Howard in 6 months, two captains in 6 months, and both of those captains relieved for cause. That's got to be one unhappy ship. Let us hope, and I hope. It is my wish and my hope, and should I or could I be able to do it, my command, that her next commanding officer is one who is both experienced as a captain, has had commands before. Secondly, understands how to rebuild the morale and the skills of a ship that has got to be very troubled. Howard, you are in my heart and mind. The expression that I use, and I have been aground, by the way, I was aground off of the coast of Vietnam. I believe it was up in I Corps. We were running in to take up a firing position to provide some gunfire support for troops on the beach. And we ran aground in an area that had not been accurately charted since French days. This was not a soft grounding. I backed her out through the same trench that we dug going in, and we had bent both blades, the blades on both propellers were bent. We had to, we did not abort any missions, but when there was a hole in the schedule that allowed us to do it, I took the ship back to Subic and we put her up in the dry dock and had the propellers reworked, and we went back to work on the gun line. So I know what it feels like to go aground, and the term that I use in the icebreaker business is when you are getting very close to the bottom, and this happens up in the Great Lakes in particular, because the Great Lakes are west end of Lake Erie in particular, is really shallow, it's dredged, and when the wind blows out of the west, it pushes all of Lake Erie over into Buffalo, and so the lake level goes down and your clearance is almost nothing. So I have smelled the bottom. That's the term that I like to use for that. Not a soft grounding. My grounding in Ingham was a hard grounding, and we had to back her out. But we did, and we were able to carry on. On the Anchorage today, right off of Captain's Quarters in the Federal Anchorage, is an interesting ship, and she's been there now for 2 weeks. Her name is the Guo Yuan 18. She's a bulk carrier, and she is under the flag of the People's Republic of China. Red flag with a gold star up in the corner. First one I've ever seen out there. She is managed by a Shanghai company. She's owned by a Chinese company. She is insured by a London insurer. And why she's been there for 2 weeks is yet to be disclosed. If she remains there during the week, this coming week, I will give a call to the captain of the port and find out what her particular story is. But I find it interesting that we have now ships under the Chinese flag. They're not just shipping their iPhones in containers in other flagships, but now they're actually coming over here on their own. I keep track of the All Coasts. ALCOST. These are messages that come from Coast Guard headquarters that are for the entire Coast Guard family, including, if you want to be on the list, and I am on the list, honored retirees. We are now up to All Coast 56 for this year. All Coast 56. And this is the Julian date for today is 31 plus 6, 39. That means that there has been more than one All Coast per day. Things that somebody in Coast Guard headquarters, from the commandant all the way down to the third class petty officer who puts the flag on the commandant's car, feels that the rest of the Coast Guard needs to hear about. So I picked out one, number 49. And number 49 is announcing the winner of the competition for the Educational Services Officer of the Year and the Inspirational Student of the Year. The first one, the acronym is ESOY, They tell us that, by the way, as a parenthetical insertion. The second one, the inspirational student of the year, is the Soy, S-O-Y. Now, when I was a junior officer before I began my command career, when I was a junior officer, I was assigned to a cutter that occupied a weather station halfway between Honolulu and Tokyo on the Great Circle Route, 34 North, 164 East. And we had a SLJO. The letter S stands for one of the words that I'm not allowed to say on the air, so we'll use the phonetic equivalent Sierra. Henceforth and now, on from the captain's chair, that word will be replaced by the phonetic Sierra. And it stands for Sierra Little Jobs Officer, SLJO. Every ship has an SLJO, and there are all kinds of SLJs. And one of them is the Educational Services Officer, not because it's not important, but because it takes up time and it is not particularly intellectually stimulating, and it is one of the jobs that is required by some higher authority. So this guy or gal now is responsible for the correspondence courses that sailors can take, responsible for helping them make application to go to schools, all the things that are connected to educational services. But to put out to the Coast Guard, to the entire Coast Guard, who is this year's ESOY, ESOY of the year, to me is carrying it just a little bit far. So I am going to increase my monitoring of the SLJOs and the SLJs, Sierra Little Jobs. Those of you who have sailed in the Coast Guard or the Navy and have sailed in ships that have Sierra Little Jobs, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who have not done that, now you know what it is about, and you know sometimes I guess the word is scorn, possibly, for some of the things that are going on. But the fact that we are now up to 56 messages that have come to the entire Coast Guard family just seems to me to be carrying things just a little bit too far. This happens to be Responsible Pet Owners Month. It's also, parenthetically insertion, National Replacement Window Month. But I am going to talk for 1 minute on Responsible Pet Owners Month because I have just inducted Blossom into the feline hyperthyroidism practice in Tacoma. And I was asked by a constant and loyal listener if I was satisfied with the operation of that particular practice, and I am. And so all of this is to see if we can't get Blossom onto some sort of balance. But that's the smaller sense. The larger sense is that I am fulfilling my responsibilities and my obligations in Responsible Pet Owners Month. And I urge all of you who have pets to get the information about the Pet Owners, Responsible Pet Owners Month, so that you don't miss out and so that you take care of all of the things for which you are responsible and accountable. And because we have once again come to the end of my time together, it is also time for me to say that I wish each of you who are indeed responsible for somebody else or somebody's plural else and your pets, that you take care of those with kindness and with joy and with appreciation for your being able to do it and for your having the ability to be able to keep on fulfilling those obligations and responsibilities, because you're providing the example to the next generations that are coming behind us to fulfill those obligations and responsibilities as well. It is, as always, your Captain Joe from the captain's chair. I am on station and watching properly, and we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we will meet again right here on a week from today from the captain's chair. All of you are in the palm of my hand.